Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on Hot 1027, and it's great to be with you, and I hope that you're all well. As you can hear, I'm finally recovering from the bronchitis I had, so I'm feeling very good this morning, and it's great to be with you. Today's gospel reading is a slightly difficult reading. Perhaps I should use the word different, not difficult, because I think we sometimes say it's not fair. And if any of you have had children, as I had, then I'm sure you know that they often say, but mom, it's not fair, especially if it involves their sibling. Now, even adults come to me and they'll say, it's not fair. Why does God reward that person? I work just as hard or perhaps even harder than them. They seem to have all the breaks. They earn more than me and they have all the luck in life. And if you've ever felt like that, then this reading is for you. But I have to add a caveat and say it's probably not going to bring you much comfort. It wouldn't bring comfort to any of us who feel life isn't fair, because what Jesus seems to be saying when we first look at this parable that I'm going to read to you is that God can treat anyone the way God wants to, and it's not for us to look and see what the other person is getting, but rather to be in the right relationship with God and be satisfied with what we have. So reading from Matthew chapter 20, and it's entitled The Parable of the Workers in the Vineyard. Well, that's in my Bible anyway. So for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day, and he sent them out into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and he saw other men standing there in the marketplace doing nothing. So he said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So off they went. He went out again at the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and he found still others standing around, and he said to them, why have you been standing around all day long doing nothing? And they answered, because no one has hired us. And he said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard called to his foreman, call all the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, going on to the first. The workers who were hired at the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those who were hired first and they came along, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you've made them equal to us, who borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, he said, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Coming up now on the mighty Hot 1027, guide me, O thy great Redeemer.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Guide me, O thy great Redeemer, on the mighty Hot 1027. Good morning. You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church, and it's really good to be with you. If you've just joined me, I've been reading from Matthew chapter 20, and we've been looking at the vineyard owner who hires men to work in his vineyard, and even those who only worked an hour got paid the same as those who worked all day. And we've looked at his response. Now, I think as humans, we like to believe that we are all treated the same, and we get the same reward for the same effort. In fact, I've just qualified as a Gallup coach, and one of the things that we are taught, one of the strengths, one of the talents that are recognized, is a thing called consistency. And those are people who strongly believe that everyone should be treated the same. What Jesus is saying in this parable for me is that God is God, and it's God's to give. And so God can reward each of us as God pleases. At least that's what it looks like at first glance. But I do think it goes deeper than that. So let's look at it in more detail. The kingdom of heaven, this is one of the kingdom of heaven parables, is like the landowner. So God obviously is the landowner. And the landowner goes out early in the morning, he hires some men to work in his vineyard, and he says that he will pay them a denarius for a day's work. They agree to that and they start working. Then a few hours later, as we read, he goes out and he hires more, and a few hours later he goes out and hires more, and he says that he will pay them what is right. Now, according to human standards, for me, if I were to think about it, well, if I've worked for 6 hours and someone only worked for 3 hours, I'd expect them to get paid half of what I got paid. I think that is human logic, but God's kingdom doesn't follow human logic, and we need to remember that. So every 3 hours he goes out and he hires more men, and then at the 11th hour, with only 1 hour left to work, he goes out, he finds these men standing around, he feels sorry for them, he sends them to the vineyard. They don't even ask what he's going to pay, they just go to the vineyard. And then in the evening, he pays everyone exactly the same. They all get one denarius. So naturally, I think, those who were hired first are expecting to get paid more, and they're very disappointed. I do wonder how you would have felt, or how I would feel, if we had worked all day and received exactly the same as those who had only worked for 1 hour. I think maybe we'd all have been a bit grumpy and complained. Maybe slightly unhappy, maybe more than slightly unhappy. And so they're grumbling against the landowner. Now remember, the landowner's God, so we're grumbling against God because it's not fair. But what the landowner says is, how have I been unfair to you? I've given you what I promised you. If I want to be generous to others, what is that to you? It's not yours to give anyway. It's my money to give. And I believe that that is what God would be saying in terms of gifting, in terms of grace, in terms of forgiveness. It's God who gives. So we can't grumble if someone seems to be favored over us. And in fact, God doesn't seem to favor people over us, but we might perceive it as that. What we need to understand is that God is a God of grace and God is generous. So what do I learn from all of this? First of all, I think I learn not to be concerned about how God treats other people. It actually isn't my business. I need to be concerned about my relationship with God, because that's what's important. And perhaps Jesus could be talking about eternal life, if you think about it. Maybe that denarius is eternal life. And all who give their lives to God inherit eternal life. Whether they give their life to God as children and spend their whole life working for God, or whether they only do so later in life, or perhaps just before they die. And it's not our business that God forgives them and God receives them and that they inherit eternal life. It's God's gift to give to us. It's what God gives us. And I think it's because God is a generous God. God is a God of grace and love and generosity. I don't think that we should abuse that if we're looking at eternal life. I've had youth when I ran a youth group, and when I was in charge of diocesan youth, I've had youth who said to me, so we should behave however we like, right until the last minute, and then say sorry and God will forgive us and it's all okay. And my answer to them was, first of all, you'll deprive yourselves of experience the fullness of life now, here and now. But secondly, you don't know when that last minute is, so I wouldn't take the chance if I was you. But I think, on a serious note, it's not our place to judge how God treats others. Instead, we need to be grateful that God is a generous God, and God is generous towards each and every one of us. God loves us all, and we are co-heirs together with Jesus, inheritors of eternal life. Coming up now on the Mighty Hot 1027, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning, you're listening to Sunrise with Shona, and it's great to be with you. Today I've looked at the parable from Matthew chapter 20 of the landowner, how God pays everyone the same wage regardless of how long they've worked in the vineyard. I've suggested that perhaps we need to see that all who call out to God and give their lives to God are saved, no matter whether that's early in their life or later in their life. And we should be grateful that God is so generous to all. And now I want to look at the rich young man. And I'm going to read that parable. It comes just before the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? And I've chosen to read this because it's about eternal life. And Jesus says, Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which one? The man inquires, and he actually reminds me of my children sometimes. And they used to say, well, what's the most important thing we must do? And they would try and forget about the rest. So Jesus says, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false evidence, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man says, well, I've kept all of these. What do I still lack? And Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When the young man heard this, we told he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth. It is hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished And they asked, "Well, then who can possibly be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With humans this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And then Peter said to him, "Well, we've left everything to follow you. What will there be for us?" And Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits in his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But those who are first will be last, and those who are last will be first." So again, a very interesting reading. And as I've stressed before, when I've shared that that parable, if you like, I've said, I don't think Jesus is saying that it's a sin to be wealthy. But what he was actually saying to that young man is that don't let your riches take priority over your relationship with me. God should be number one. God is our priority in our lives, not our things. And I've heard it said that in churches, I've heard it say, "Show me your budget and I'll show you where the priority of the church is." And I think that can be true, especially when churches were doing extremely well. One could see whether their priority was youth or the elderly or where they were placing their priority. But I think it's true for us in our personal lives too. Where do our priorities lie? What is a priority for us? Is God number one in our lives, or are our things number one in our lives? Do we put monetary things before God? And I'm not just then talking about money, but how about our gifts and our time, our devotion, our energy, our thoughts? Those are also things that we can give back to God. So where does God fit into all of this? Where are we putting God? Are we devoted to the earthly things or to God? Now, as we think about that, I think it's always good to remember that God is compassionate, God is full of grace, God is forgiving, God loves us, and God is good. And all who call on God will be saved. But we will experience far more of God's gift of the fullness of life here on earth when God is a priority in our lives. And that is a commandment, to make God number one in our lives. And so it's always good to spend a little time reflecting and to see where we place God in our lives. Is God perhaps one or two or three or four in our lives? It's good to look at that and then look at these parables and try to understand that God is gracious, God is good, God is forgiving. We are co-heirs with Christ. We inherit eternal life with Christ. We're not called to be distracted by the people around us and what God does in their lives. That's not our business. We're called to be in that right relationship with God, and to be in that relationship with God, God needs to be number one. I pray that you have a wonderful week. I hope that you are well, and I hope that you are blessed this week. And I do pray for God's protection and anointing upon you and those you love and pray for. To wrap up this morning, we have "Broken for Me" and "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord." Thank you so much for listening. If you need to get hold of me, you can do so on shona@hot1027.co.za.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.